Tell me about your organization, Capital Region Action Against Breast Cancer, Margaret.
Capital Region Action Against Breast Cancer, or CRAB, was started in 1997 by a group of breast cancer survivors, caregivers, educators, a physical therapist. We got together to provide support services for breast cancer survivors and their caregivers, and to offer education programs about treatments and possible causes of cancer and alternative therapies. I think CRAB is different from most other cancer organizations in that we explore the environmental links to cancer. And since 1997, we've been offering education programs on environmental toxins and pollution in breast cancer, and on gene interaction with environmental chemicals, and on other possible contributors to the breast cancer epidemic. In fact, many people don't know that genetic heritage accounts for only about 10% of breast cancer incidents. That percentage may rise as research of the human genome progresses, but still, most women who get breast cancer do not have a family history of breast cancer, nor do they fit into most of the risk factors. So we believe there is clearly an environmental component that contributes to the high rate of breast cancer in the U.S. And it's interesting that the U.S. has high rates of breast cancer, as do other industrialized countries, which again kind of points to the fact that it's probably an environmental issue. So that's CRAB.
Yes. As a breast cancer prevention activist and educator, what are your concerns about dioxins?
Well, first of all, they may be the most widespread toxic chemical in our environment. And at one point, I think it was the 1990s, the EPA stated that there was no safe level of dioxin. And in 2000, the year 2000, the EPA officially declared dioxin to be a known carcinogen. It's in the body fat of every human being, including newborns. And dioxins break down very slowly. They accumulate in fat of wildlife, and they bioaccumulate across the food chain. They're also endocrine disruptors, by the way. And so we are exposed primarily through eating animal products and through mother's breast milk. It enters the food chain when vehicle exhaust or soot from incineration falls on field crops, and they're later eaten by, that's eaten by farm animals. So, in other words, it's ubiquitous. And studies about dioxin and breast cancer have been conflicting, and there haven't been many studies about this, but there have been a few cases, a follow-up study on women exposed to dioxins during a chemical plant explosion in the 1970s in Italy made a pretty strong association for a connection between dioxin and breast cancer. And that study, the researchers found a tenfold increase in dioxin levels was associated with more than twice the risk of breast cancer. And researchers are going to follow up with the women who were young at the time of the explosion to see if they did indeed contract breast cancer later on in their life. There was another study that examined deaths from cancer among people who had worked in a chemical factory in which they were exposed to high levels of dioxin. And I guess they found there was no increase in overall mortality from cancer for female workers, although there was a significant increase in deaths from breast cancer among those who worked in high exposure regions of the factory. So it is a concern. It is a carcinogen. For instance, in animal studies, if they are exposed to dioxins when they're young or before they become pregnant, then pregnant rats usually have their offspring have structural abnormalities in their mammary gland tissues. So again, they can have effects on people later in life, even if they were exposed when young. So it is a big concern, and I think it's an issue which hasn't received enough public attention.
I agree with you. There doesn't seem to be nearly enough of the coverage of the connections between pollution and cancer and pollution and any of the other chronic diseases to really bring any rapid progress on preventing pollution.
I think you're right, and you're doing wonderful work in that regard, keeping this issue in the forefront, because I think it is an issue which has kind of slid under the radar.
Well, oftentimes it does fall upon the, you know, the best efforts of the environmental groups like CRAB and Cancer Action and the other groups. CRAB published in the organization's newsletter some legislative hearing testimony submitted by the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New York, urging lawmakers to ban open waste burning throughout New York State. Are women in the Capital Region beginning to grow in their awareness of the connection between open waste burning in rural areas and dioxin exposure of urban consumers resulting from pollutant contamination of meats, dairy products, and eggs?
Well, that's a great question, and unfortunately, I don't think so. I don't think women are making the connection. I believe people are just beginning to learn about, for instance, the concept of endocrine disruption and its connection to breast cancer and other cancers. And that's mainly because of the publicity surrounding the safe cosmetics issue or the toxic childcare products. People are understanding from those issues that have been in the media recently that there is a connection between environmental exposures and cancer. And the media, after all, is the most common source of health information for most people. And I think dioxins has not been a hot topic in the media. It might have been, let's say, 20 years ago. It seems to resurface every, 10 years or something. It has slid under the radar. So, unfortunately, I think there's a lot more work to do to raise public awareness. In fact, I can't think of any other environmental group but yours, Don, which is heavily focused on this at the moment.
Well, we've tried to focus on the pollutants that we consider to be the best understood, where there was the most science to bring forward when making the argument for prevention. And it seemed that dioxins and PAHs were both relatively well understood compared to some of the other pollutant carcinogens. Metals, the trace metals like lead and cadmium and chromium and nickel and arsenic, we're also trying to get some prevention work and some educating done on those as well. And the open waste burning issue just came right to us being in this rural part of New York State. And we were experiencing the open burning, and that was something that just could not be turned away from when it was just such a polluting source in a very wrong place with the food production taking place there.
Right.
So the dioxins came at us from two angles, the amount of research that had been accumulating on dioxins and cancer risk, and also this whole matter of a source, such a concern-raising source, being in the area where we are active. The open waste burning dioxins newsletter that CRAB published, I think that article appeared in 2005, if my recollection is correct. New York State still does not have an open burning ban. The effort has been made for many years with the legislature, and it doesn't appear to be the way to go about having a ban. New York State DEC began in 2008 to take the steps of what they call rulemaking to create a regulation that would ban open burning. They're in the process of finalizing that rule. The rule in the form that it now exists is in the Governor's Office of Regulatory Reforms, and when it comes out of there, it will either be a final rule or it will have a few revisions that will be public noticed. What I'm wondering is, the Farm Bureau has expressed opposition to abandon open burning, claiming economic disadvantages for farmers and not being able to dispose of their, you know, their agricultural plastics and the other waste materials of a big farm in these open fires. How can cancer prevention activists overcome the opposition of a farm organization like Farm Bureau, New York Farm Bureau, and bring about the enactment of a ban by New York State DEC?
Well, that's a great question, too, and I'll bring this to the attention of the New York State Breast Cancer Network, which is a coalition of 23 groups across the state, of which CRAB is a founding member. And I'd like to see some of the groups in the network get involved with this. When we want to see public policy changes, we realize that you need a large coalition of groups and individuals to work together and to really push the legislation or to push the governor or to educate the governor really about this issue. And that can involve members of the general public who can write letters to the governor. They can write letters to their legislators. They can write letters to newspapers. They can also get involved with the environmental groups or cancer awareness groups like CRAB to try and have this ban put in place. Again, it's a matter also of public awareness. I think what I don't understand is that the New York Farm Bureau opposes it for one reason, because they feel they don't have enough land to dispose of some of their waste products, some of which are, for instance, wood chips or leaves, you know, forest refuse, things that can actually be composted. You don't have to burn a lot of that. Unfortunately, they burn that type of stuff together with plastics and metals, which create a lot of the dioxin. It seems that the materials can be separated out, and then they can find a better way to dispose of the plastic containers. So I think it can be done. They just need a ban, I believe, to find new ways to do it.
I think that's a solution. Why do you give so much of your time and energy to breast cancer prevention activism, Margaret?
Well, my sister had breast cancer, and I was her primary caregiver during the last 2 years of her life. I had another sister, my oldest sister, who had lung cancer, and she never smoked. Breast cancer and lung cancer have not run in my family, and I learned that most women who do get breast cancer do not have a family history of breast cancer. So I suspected there were some lifestyle or environmental links to the disease. And as you may imagine, the experience of losing two sisters was devastating for me and my family. So I wanted to do something that might help other families lower their risk for getting the disease. And for most of the women I work with at CRAB and in the New York State Breast Cancer Network, I think educating people and educating the public has become a personal and passionate mission. And it really amazes me that most of the women involved with the network and with CRAB are breast cancer survivors, and still, even after going through that very traumatic time in their lives, they continue to dedicate their lives to raising awareness and finding solutions to fight the disease. And they're incredible people.
What do you most honor about yourself in this role? Well, it's what you feel is of great value, and that you are very happy-hearted about bringing to this, these changes being created.
Well, I've actually learned I enjoy learning and reading about the science behind breast cancer, reading about genetics and the gene-environment interaction, DNA changes, as much as I can understand it. In fact, when my husband and I travel, he often teases me because at the newsstand I buy Scientific American or other science magazines rather than P People magazine or the usual light reading materials that one usually reads on planes or trains. But I don't know. I know in this line of work you really have to pace yourself and make sure that you don't get burned out, which is a common thing for many people who work in low-budget nonprofit organizations and for people who volunteer a lot. And especially with CRAB and with any cancer organization, the subject matter can be pretty depressing. But it just seems very necessary. And my hope would be that the large nationally known breast cancer organizations that have the money and staff would take on some of these issues and provide many of the local services, but they don't. So it's up to smaller community-based organizations to do that work.
Do you see a movement taking shape that will begin to prevent cancer-causing pollution at a much more rapid pace?
I think so now. I'm very hopeful with this new administration in Washington that we'll see major changes across the board in environmental policy. I mean, I think restoring the Clean Air Act regulations is a big first step. And I think that the whole green movement is finally part of the national dialogue, and I believe there will be a lot of substantial work done on that to improve the environment. There are also bills at the national level right now that address banning certain endocrine disruptors. And at the state level, there are also some bills currently moving through the system that also ban or reduce certain endocrine disruptors like bisphenol A or flame retardants. So I'm hoping dioxin can get back in the forefront of that movement. But I do think the public in general is becoming more aware of environmental links to disease. Probably not as much as I would like to see, but they are becoming more aware. And, you know, I think with the great service that you're doing and to use radio to increase public awareness is what needs to be done. There needs to be more media coverage about these issues. I mean, after all, it's our health. What could be more important?
I can't imagine what could be more important for the media to cover. And my understanding of it is that they have a sense that business would not want it being covered, and that's why they don't cover it.
Well, I think that's true. I think we're up against strong opposition. People and businesses who have the money and to get their to get what they want more than our smaller organizations do. And I think also, though, it is a matter of education. I do think a lot of people and perhaps a lot of farmers around the state are not really aware of the damage that these chemicals do. And I think we just have to keep on educating everyone about the importance of these issues.
Well, that sounds like a good place to finish our interview up. I'm happy. It's a great interview.
Well, thanks, Don. This is a great project. I really hope you can get this on the radio and make it a continual program.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful, too.